Greetings, and thank you for joining us for another week of Crystal Temple Presents, live from the Crystal Temple in Portland, Oregon. I am Amanda Jones, and I'm joined here with David. And Teresa Bullard, also.
Hello.
David, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is David. I work here at the Crystal Temple, and I'm excited to be on there with you, Amanda. This is going to be fun.
Crystal Temple is a movement and meditation space in Portland, Oregon, where we offer a lot of classes and events. Some of the things that happened last week, did you want to share what happened last week, David?
Yeah, I'd love to. We had a great activation last week on Thursday night, when we were joined by the Nathors, and that's a group of extraterrestrial beings that works with the planet to bring forth the evolving of mankind toward their highest potential. And they came and joined us in the temple for a wonderful hour of energy, and it was very, I guess I would describe it as kind of thick and syrupy.
Yeah, it felt like pea soup in the room.
Pea soup, very comforting, very penetrating, and it had a very deep level to it, I think.
Yeah, everybody that was there really enjoyed that activation. And we do those every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and pretty soon we are going to be doing those remotely as well. So if that's something that you'd be interested in or you'd like to participate in, please do contact us. Our phone number here, 503-249-0303, or shoot us an email. Our email address is info@crystaltemple.org. Also, we will be taking phone calls throughout this broadcast, so please feel free to use any of the call-in numbers listed on the www.bbsradio.com website. Go ahead.
Yeah, so some other fun stuff that's happened lately. Well, Friday night for our spirit dance, we had a world music night, and that was a good time. And on Saturday evening, a sound awakenings night with Tom Lang and Jen Everest playing didgeridoo and Tibetan bowls. And that was a very wonderful evening as we laid on the floor and absorbed the sounds from the didgeridoo and the Tibetan bowls as they walked around and played them over our bodies. It was very relaxing. We finished up on Sunday with another wonderful belly dancing program and a few meetings and a free lecture on Sunday evening. So thank you to Bill Magic for coming forth and doing a free intro to tarot lecture for us here at the temple, because we really enjoyed that talk.
Yeah, it was so informative. I learned so much. He is just really amazing and a wealth of knowledge. So thank you, Bill, for coming to that and sharing all of your information. So,
yep, Monday we did some field work, and now we're back at work starting another week here at the Crystal Temple. We're open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 hours a day. We open at 10 and close at 10, and so feel free to stop by.
Or you can check us out on our website, www.crystaltemple.org, and there's a lot of information on our website, so you can browse around, see pictures, see our coming events, or our newsletter. So to start off the show, David wanted to lead us in a guided meditation or inspirational reading, and I am curious, because he has not shared with me what he is doing today, what you have for us.
Well, I think we'll just take a look here at something that might be of help to the people out there. Maybe some of them are feeling a little bit stressed. They could have had a hard day at work, or things could just be piling up on them. So we're going to look at stress management today. And what is stress, and what can we do about it?
I don't know. Please share with us.
Well, stress, what produces a state of being stressed? Stress is an instinctive reaction. It is a complex set of psychological responses to a perceived threat. Now, this can be to life and limb. But it's not always that threatening. It could just be something as somebody's attitude towards you, and their energy affects you and makes you feel or react in a stressful manner. It comes from the instinctive centers of the brain, the oldest portion of our brains. The stress response is also called fight or flight. This instinct was crucial to the survival of ancient humans. It created a state of physical readiness to fight for their lives, or to run for their lives. Stress is still a functional response. If you are facing a hungry tiger and you need to save your life, fleeing or fighting isn't very functional. If you are facing a meeting with your boss at work.
I don't know. I've seen some bosses I'd want to flee from.
Well, your job might not last you long if you attack them.
True.
Unfortunately, the instinctive centers of your brain don't know the difference between the boss and the tiger. They simply trigger the stress response.
Well, that explains a lot.
And that is not a good thing.
So
just wait till we get into what all the bad effects of what stress can do to you.
Well, I don't want to know bad effects. Can I know about how to not be so stressed? Do you have anything on that?
How not to be stressed.
Yeah. Or if you're stressed, how to get rid of stress. So, like, breathing, maybe?
Well, if you want to breathe, there is a method that you can use to counteract your stress. By studying blood levels of stress hormones, experts have determined that your brain takes 10 seconds to recognize a stressor. You have 10 seconds to pause, and if you do, you can inhibit the stress response. In that pause, you can give your brain the information that this is not a stressor.
Is this like when, you know, you're always told to count to 10 before you respond to somebody?
That may be so. That might be a good reason to take that into account. So here's how you do it. You breathe slowly and deeply. This relaxes your body. Count 5 as you breathe in, and count 5 as you hold your breath. Then count 5 as you breathe out. Do this 10 times. The pause you take in doing this will buy you the time to make a decision before your body begins the hormone release that will alter your perceptual and physiological state for the next 6 hours. So, if you go ahead and get upset and you don't stop it, your body will release these hormones that will affect you for the next 6 hours. And these hormones will actually be poisonous to your body if you do not clear them out through some form of physical action. But if you stop and pause and breathe, you can intercept your body's reaction and stop the production of these hormones, thereby making yourself feel better for the next 6 hours.
Cool. Well, that seems like something that everybody could do, especially, you know, starting off their day, they have a hard meeting. Just take a few minutes and breathe, and then probably it won't be so bad, hopefully. Do you have any other quick tips or tricks?
Yeah, there's quite a few different methods of dealing with stress. You need to start small. If you feel overwhelmed with stress or feel that there's no way out, take one area of your life and work on that. Just pick one little thing that is affecting you. Make progress reports for yourself. As you work on this one problem, take notes and write them down. Determine what steps need to be taken to eliminate this stress from your life or to learn how to better deal with it. Human problems are always going to be with us. This is a part of the life experience. there is no magical solution to that truth. We don't have to take everything so personally and emotionally. So just relax, take one problem, identify what the problem is, and figure out what you can do to eliminate the problem from your life or to better deal with it. And once you have mastered that problem, you can go on to something else.
Cool. Well, this is amazing, and I'm really glad that you shared this information to us. This type of information is and different tricks and tips are available, and David shares during his Sunday service, and that's held here at the Crystal Temple every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So while everyone is out there listening and breathing, I would love to introduce our guest for today, Miss Teresa Bullard. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually very relaxed now after listening to David talk.
Oh, good, good.
He has a very soothing voice.
That's why I have him do it. So I wanted you to take a moment and introduce yourself to everybody that's listening and what you're up to up there.
Okay. Well, my name is Teresa Bullard, and I am a co-founder of the Universal Kabbalah Network. We are based in Seattle, but we actually travel all over the U.S. as well as around the world. Myself and our founders of the Universal Kabbalah Network, and we teach Kabbalah and various other metaphysical programs for healing and self-empowerment and really coming to manifest our full potential. And then in addition to that, for myself personally, I am also a physicist. I have a PhD in physics, and I find it as my personal passion to blend the scientific, our modern sciences, with the metaphysical knowledge of much more ancient. And
cool. I can hardly hear you, so I'm really sorry if I ask you the same questions that you have just talked about. But you, with your degree in physics and the areas of expertise within science, sacred geometry, alchemy, and Kabbalah, is there anything in specifically you'd like to share in your travels and in blending those aspects of things that you've seen, heard, or anything in particular you'd like to share about that?
Well, just that I find that sacred geometry, Kabbalah, and alchemy, for me, seem to be the bridge between the ancient esoteric teachings of metaphysics as well as science and what science talks about today. The more that I study both science and Kabbalah or alchemy, for example, the more I see that these kind of ancient philosophers are the founding fathers of our modern science. Things like chemistry, pharmacology, modern medicine, physics, all these things came out of the work of the Kabbalists and the alchemists, and the people who also were very intrigued by sacred geometry or geometry found in nature. So I think that even though science, modern science today, has divorced itself from spirituality, I believe that by bringing that aspect back into the science, we can really take our technologies and our awareness of the realms beyond our five physical senses to the next level.
Wow. Yeah. You talk about the Kabbalah, and a lot of people, I think, have a connotation of Kabbalah within, they think of, like, Jewish mysticism, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that. Mm-hmm. As a universal perspective rather than a religious perspective, and where it came from and why it's resurfaced.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly a lot of people associate Kabbalah these days with the Jewish tradition. And indeed, the Jewish tradition has been very I would say the more mystical Jewish tradition of Kabbalah has been very prominent. However, the Jewish religion is not the only group of people who have been drawn to the Kabbalah. And indeed, the Kabbalah has been with us since the dawn of human ability to ask questions and seek answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kabbalah, the word translates to receive, and it's about receiving knowledge through the asking of questions. And so Kabbalah itself has been with us long before any religion. And so when we see the universal Kabbalah, it's more about working with the Kabbalah as a system unto itself, not tied to any particular religion or set of dogmas, so to speak. So we look at it in a very spiritual way, but also in a very practical way.
Mm-hmm.
But we take it outside of any particular religion. And in that sense, we use it as a system for self-discovery and personal growth and empowerment. And people of any faith, of any religion, can study the Kabbalah and then adapt it to their own personal tradition or religious tradition instead of beliefs, because the Kabbalah works with the Tree of Life. It's just a map for organizing information in different aspects of creation and the world we live in, as well as the self. And so you can really map any religion, any tradition, or even science or the mind. Or, you know, there's many things that you can map onto that Tree of Life. So that's how we work with Kabbalah.
I bet, you know, as a physicist and a scientist, you know, the perspective of looking at this system is, you know, quite different. And perhaps, you know, our listeners are interested to hear more of that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a scientist, I love Kabbalah because, you know, when I first heard about Kabbalah, I had never, ever heard the word before.
Mm-hmm.
There was something intuitively for me that I felt drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to study it, I got so excited because my eyes just started opening up to, wow, well, that relates to this and that relates to this. And I could just take all these things that I had studied scientifically, spiritually, you know, in terms of consciousness as well. And I could take all of these things from all these different avenues of study and spiritual practice and whatever, and tie them all together.
Mm.
And as a scientist, also looking at the Tree of Life, for example, and how Kabbalah talks about the story of creation and basic laws of the universe, I see that the Kabbalists, they may have used a different set of languaging and metaphors,
mm-hmm.
but they were talking about the stuff that science today is now starting to finally prove and discover. Mm-hmm. And yet the Kabbalists have been saying it all along. So, for example, the cosmology of the Big Bang and the law of polarity and of the attraction between different poles. And I mean, there's so many different universal principles and cosmic laws that Kabbalah talks about, and they've been talking about for thousands of years. And science only today is starting to really discover these. So I believe that as a Kabbalist, one can look at other teachings that the Kabbalah has had for many thousands of years and start to take those and try to apply them scientifically now as well and bring another foundation or experimental backing to these things that have been taught for a long time.
Wow. Well, it sort of begs the question, how long have you been studying this?
I have been studying metaphysics for most of my life,
mm-hmm.
and Kabbalah specifically for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Very, very intensively for the last 7 years. Yes.
That's incredible.
And then science, I've been working with physics for the last 14 years.
And you just finished your degree?
Recently finished the PhD, yes.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So why do you think Kabbalah has resurfaced at this time and come forth to the public?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Kabbalah has definitely been one of the things, like I said, when I heard about it 7 years ago, I'd never heard the word before.
Mm-hmm.
And today, as we're out there talking about it, most people have at least heard the word or heard the concept, you know. And in large part, we have like people like Madonna to thank for that. I mean, they, you know, some of these subjects of Hollywood have taken a liking to Kabbalah as well. They've found the benefits of it in whatever sense they have worked with it, and that has done a service to help bring Kabbalah back to the consciousness of the general public and the masses. But just because it's coming out now doesn't mean it's a new thing. Kabbalah has been there for thousands of years, and there have been times where it's been submerged and sort of underground to, I would say, to preserve the integrity of the teaching and also to protect, because Kabbalah has power. Knowledge has power, and there is deep knowledge contained within Kabbalah. And sometimes that power can be used towards the benefit and the advancement of humankind, and other times power has been used, or knowledge has been used, to kind of do harm. And so during those times where the power was, you know, threatened to be abused, the Kabbalah and other ancient teachings would go underground. During the Inquisition, for example, was in the Dark Ages, was one of those times when Kabbalah was forced to go underground again. But every time that it has resurfaced and come back into the masses, accessible to the masses and in the general consciousness, there has been a golden age or a renaissance or a great leap forward in the consciousness and the awareness and the ingenuity of human thought. Mm-hmm. And so why do I think that Kabbalah has come forward and has resurfaced at this time on the planet? Well, I think that we're at a time on the planet where, number one, we need to make a big leap right now in our consciousness and in our society. And I think that we are poised to make that big leap. And Kabbalah and other tools like alchemy and sacred geometry and various other metaphysical principles are coming forth again to help us make that leap, to help us remember the principles of creation in the universe so that we can realign ourselves with these things and bring about the next golden age.
Wow.
Which, you know, a lot of people talk about the 2012, and, you know, I think that it's not the end of anything. I think it's a new beginning, and that we are very quickly approaching that new beginning.
So, I would love to sit and pick your brain for an hour and hours upon end, but do you have your schedule posted of classes on your website?
I do. Our website is www.universalkabbalah.net, and that's Kabbalah spelled K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. That's a .net, not .com. Universalkabbalah.net. We have coming up here several classes on the West Coast happening. One in Seattle that actually starts this weekend, or this week, I should say. It starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a year-long process of ascending the Tree of Life and working with the Kabbalah and really taking a journey of self-exploration, healing, discovery, and empowerment. And then we have a similar year-long series of Kabbalah starting in Portland, May 24th and 25th. And then down in, I'll be going down to Southern California for much of the summer, and we have a spiritual alchemy workshop on June 14th and 15th. And we're doing initiations. There's initiations happening up and down the West Coast, probably once or twice a month in various areas, mm-hmm. by different people that we're connected with. So they can find all of that information on our website, universalkabbalah.net.
Okay, great. Yeah. And I know we have you coming here to the temple in September to do an unveiling alchemy class as well. So I'm really excited to host you here for that weekend.
I'm excited to be coming there as well. Mm-hmm. I had a great time when I was down there just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get back and definitely talk a little bit more about Kabbalah and what it does and why it's so unique in this particular teaching that you know, the classes that you teach.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to talk a little bit about the benefits of taking these classes?
Sure. So I would say that one of the best things that Kabbalah can do for a person is to really help them come to master their own mind. Kabbalah you know, things like modern psychology, Jungian psychology, NLP, these kinds of things, they came from the Kabbalists. And so Kabbalah, more than any other system I found out there, really helps us to clear up the subconscious mind and the backlog of any unresolved issues that kind of keep us bound to old patterns that are often destructive or limiting in some way. And so in the Kabbalah, we really go in and clear up some of the subconscious backlog so that the subconscious mind can do, you know, can use its energy and for what it's supposed to be used for, and so that we can then also become more efficient in using our conscious mind, because the other thing that Kabbalah does is help us to eliminate mind clutter, change our thinking from more negative thinking to positive thinking, and then using the Tree of Life, we create a whole new system of organizing thoughts and stimulus and input that's coming into the mind. And it becomes a really automatic process after this year-long journey of ascending the Tree of Life, where it really helps you to reorganize the mind, and that allows you to accomplish more. And it's amazing how after 1 year of working with the Kabbalah the way we do, how people just start seeing life through the association with the Tree of Life. No more monkey mind, no more chatter mind. I mean, you might still have it there, but you gain tools and techniques and concepts and tools that are that have been shown to work for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, like I said, many of our modern psychology and other things have come from the Kabbalistic teachings. And so we can really use these to become more masterful of our own thought processes. And then from that, we can become more masterful of how we create in our world. Because as we know from many of the various movies and teachings that are coming out today, thoughts are things, and our thoughts create our reality. Mm-hmm. And so when we can make our thinking more clear, and driven more by our will and our conscious mind rather than our subconscious backlog, then we can become much more efficient at creating in our lives according to what we truly desire.
Cool. So, I'm thinking in my little monkey mind over here. you know, what would be the difference if I were to just go to the library or to, you know, Amazon.com and buy a bunch of books on Kabbalah versus taking this year-long study?
Mm-hmm.
What would be some of the benefits that would
great
be out of the year long?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's always been an aspect of Kabbalah that has required a piece of it to be handed down through what is called the oral tradition. It wasn't until, you know, at the most a couple hundred years ago that anything was ever even written down mm-hmm. in books about the Kabbalah. Before that, everything was of the oral tradition, and it's what they call the unspoken or the secret Kabbalah. And a part of that is because Kabbalah is not just about the knowledge. In fact, the knowledge is a small portion of it. The Kabbalah is much more about the shifting of the energy and the expansion of awareness and the heightening of one's vibration. And that is something that is often difficult to achieve on one's own. I think Einstein was the one who said that the same mind that creates a problem cannot solve it. And so often we can't see our own way through where our subconscious blocks are. And so having a teacher or a guide along that path will help you to really accelerate through that growth, and not get stuck or get caught into one's own illusions and how interpretations of how the Kabbalah, what it's really teaching. So having a teacher is a really important piece of the Kabbalistic tradition. And there is a handing down. There is there will always be parts of Kabbalah that will never be written down.
Mm-hmm.
These teachings, when you are studying with a teacher who's received them, a direct ancient lineage of handing down from teacher to student and so forth. And the piece about how we teach this that is really different from just intellectual study of Kabbalah is that in the Universal Kabbalah, we actually do energetic, what we call energetic ascensions. And this is a process of raising the vibration of the group to each part of the Tree of Life step by step. And as we do that, people experience Kabbalah and live life with the Tree of Life very active in their life. And so that then, like, life brings them the teachings that they need to learn. So it's not just an intellectual study. It is, you come to know it and integrate it through life and through direct experience rather than just concepts. So these are two of the key things that are really different. And then the other piece that I would say is really different about the way we teach Kabbalah is that we have not only the energetic ascensions, but at the very end of that process, we have a Kabbalistic initiation, so to speak, of what is called crossing the abyss or bridging the gap, the perceived gap of separation between us here in the physical created realm and spirit or divine creator. And we bridge that gap so that we can come more fully into direct contact within our own soul and consciousness with our own divinity, with that aspect of God or of creator that is within each and every one of us. And this then is a very powerful process for helping to heal the dualistic thinking and the sense of separation or being alone here in the physical world, that sense of being trapped. Instead of it being feeling trapped here or less than here in the physical, all of a sudden we see that we are co-creators of this experience and that life is a gift and, in a sense, a playground for us to explore and to create and to grow and to learn and so forth. So there's many, many ways in which the way we work with Kabbalah is unique among other Kabbalah teachings that are out there, as well as it's very powerful compared to what one can get when they just go and read the books. Often the books are there's some misleading information in some of the books out there. Mm. And if you're just relying upon books, you can often get rather frustrated because you don't know which one's inconsistent and which one is more reliable. And so there's a lot of information out there. Not all of it is very accurate.
Right. I just wanted to remind folks we're talking with Teresa Bullard, who has a PhD in physics, and we're discussing the Universal Kabbalah. Her website is www.universalkabbalah.net. Kabbalah is spelled K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about your training to become a Kabbalah teacher, and you discussed that you have this Universal Kabbalah Network that you run with Verla Wade up out of Seattle, Washington, mm-hmm. and I wanted to ask if where your training was from, and if there is any other teachers in the United States for our listeners mm-hmm. That if they had any questions they could perhaps contact, mm-hmm. or if they couldn't get a hold of you, or if they wanted to take a class and they lived elsewhere besides obviously the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. So the training that we have received has been 7 years worth of training, rigorous training, to become Kabbalah teachers, working with the Rocky Mountain Mystery School lineage, which has an ancient lineage dating all the way back to King Solomon, and some of the greatest Kabbalists in history have been on that direct line. And so there's a very large amount of knowledge and keys and teachings that have been handed down through that tradition to the Kabbalah teachers that have trained with them. Mm-hmm. We have, around the world, there are, I believe, 7 or 8 Kabbalah teachers that have been, and 4 of them are on the West Coast. Seattle, in New Jersey, out in Japan, several of us traveled to various places in the world, so like South Africa, Dubai, Canada, and some of us are hoping to get into South America next year. Various places in Asia, the Japanese teachers go to various places in Asia. So there's teachings happening all around the world. And if anyone wants to find where the teachings are happening in their area and they're not close to the West Coast where the classes are starting with me very soon, then they can certainly send an email to me and I can get them in touch with the people they
oh,
might
great.
Be closer to. You there?
Perfect. So what, now you talked a little bit about studying Kabbalah and taking these year-long things. We talked about your training and the, you know, the reasons why you pursued, and a little bit about the results of taking Kabbalah when you were discussing, you know, as you ascend the tree, you ascend energetically in your own, you know, light body. Can you talk a little bit about more of the benefits or the results after this year-long process?
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, the year-long ascension process is very much about really coming to know thyself. It's about self-discovery. It's about personal growth. And what I have seen often with people as they have gone through the process is they have come to a reconnecting with their inner self, who they know is within them, but they've sort of become removed from that sense of themselves because of various, you know, social conditioning and upbringing and so forth. And so through this year, they often reclaim that part of who they truly are and realign with their sense of meaning and purpose in life. And through this, they awaken various gifts and creativity and spiritual empowerment, and they come into a sense of really being equipped, you know, with the tools and the knowledge and the self-awareness to achieve their highest potential. You learn how to kind of get out of your own way and then bring the energies from, you know, the sort of creative realm, these higher spiritual planes, down into the physical. That's one of the best things about Kabbalah, is that it's not just about spiritual transcendence. It's about bringing those energies of the spiritual realm down here into physical life, so that we can make this earth a better place, so that we can make our life here in the planet a better place, and really contribute to the advancement of humankind and of becoming more conscious co-creators of this planet and of what we are creating here in our own lives, as well as a global society. So there's a lot of benefits that come from this work. I mean, a completion of past, a clearing out of the old conditioning, a coming more into one's full potential and true empowerment, really coming to know yourself more, and really kind of reclaiming your own birthright to having a life filled with joy, abundance, prosperity, more direct connection with spirit, and a sense of empowerment, and knowing that why you're here. You know, why are we here? What are we doing here? These kinds of things. I mean, Kabbalah is very much about answering questions that are some of the most important questions we could ask ourselves in life, like, who am I? And what am I doing here? And where do I come from? And where am I going? You know, what's all of this about? And what are my gifts? You know, what do I have to bring to this process of life? And so there's so many good things I could say about it. It's like, where do I start? So, but I would say, you know, if I was going to sum it up, Kabbalah is like having an instruction manual for how to live a successful life. It gives you the formula, the perfect formula for how to live a successful life. And success in all areas of life, both physical, spiritual, financial, in terms of what you're creating in your life, all these things. So.
Cool. I think David has a question.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, Teresa.
Hi, David.
A lot of people might have heard the term, some terms from Kabbalah, such as the Tree of Life, or Sephira, or maybe Malkuth or Kether. And could
mm-hmm.
could you maybe go over some of the basic terms and what they deal with?
Okay. Often, so Kabbalah, sometimes the first year of Kabbalah, or as you first start to encounter the Kabbalah, sometimes it can be a little intimidating for people because there is all this terminology. And that terminology is really based more on often it's the ancient Hebrew words. And these Hebrew words, the reason we still use them today is even though we know what their translation is, like you mentioned, Sephira, I mean, the translation of that is numbers or emanations. You mentioned Malchut, the translation of that is kingdom. Keter means the crown. So we know what the translation is, but the thing is that when you use the ancient languages and the words, there's a vibration about that that is, it carries energy and power within the word, because that's how the ancient languages were formulated. They were formulated for creating the result just based on the formulation of the word and the sounds and the combination of the tones and so forth. So they're very powerful words, which is why we use them. But often they refer to various parts of the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life itself is a kind of a sacred geometric glyph. It is a sacred geometry. It's the idea that there's a certain set or fundamental limited number of patterns that we see in nature that are like the building blocks for all of creation in the physical world. And the Tree of Life is sort of like, if you consider each sacred geometry, like a triangle or a square or a circle, these are sacred geometries. If you consider each one as a key to unlocking a certain power of creation or a certain set of knowledge, the Tree of Life is like the master key. It helps you to unlock all of the gates of knowledge that we need to unlock. And so various terminologies that you've mentioned all relate to aspects of that Tree of Life. It's comprised of 10 aspects plus a hidden one, and then there's also the source. And people can see, if they just do a Google search and type in Tree of Life, you know, they'll see all kinds of examples of that pattern of the Tree of Life. It's also on my website, if they wanted to go there as well. But the thing is not to get hung up around terminology so much as the energy that it's trying to convey. And these are what we call words of power that allow us to really shift vibration across the spectrum of energy.
So if you could say three things, three reasons, or why you like or love the Universal Kabbalah so much, what would those be?
Okay. I love it myself because it is extremely practical.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, like I said before, it's not just about spiritual concepts and philosophy and reaching to, you know, spiritual levels and escaping the physical. It's very much about almost the opposite. It's about ascending.
Are you there? Well, it seems like we lost Teresa mid-sentence. Bummer. For more details on her upcoming classes, please visit her website, www.universalkabbalah.net. Universal Kabbalah is spelled K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. Again, www.universalkabbalah.net. She has a few classes coming up, year-long Kabbalah series, one in Seattle that begins this weekend, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, and one in Portland that is beginning May 24th and 25th. And if you are interested in either of those workshops or year-long Kabbalah series, please do visit her website. She also has an alchemy workshop scheduled in Southern California in June and one here at the Crystal Temple in September. Again, her website, www.universalkabbalah.net. Here at the Crystal Temple, we have a few things coming up. First, we wanted to thank Teresa so much for all of her work and all of her service in the light. And if you have any questions or would like to learn more, to visit her website. David, do you want to share something?
Yeah. I want everybody to understand that though this subject of the Kabbalah can seem kind of complicated if it's new to you, that there is no requirements or prerequisites for attending any of these courses. These courses are all open to anybody who is interested in expanding their awareness and learning new concepts and growing in their life. So everyone is welcome to participate in any of these courses that Teresa talked about.
And thank you again, Teresa, so much for all of your hard work and travels and sharing this information with the rest of us. We truly appreciate it. I wanted to share a few things with our listeners out there. We've talked a little bit about the Thursday night group spiritual activations held here at the Crystal Temple, and I teased it a little bit earlier in the broadcast about sending those remotely. We do have monthly packages available, and if you are interested in receiving those energies remotely from the temple, please do contact us. Our phone number here is 503-249-0303, or you can always email info@crystaltemple.org. Please check out our website, www.crystaltemple.org, if you have any questions or are interested in more. So, David, did you want to talk about some coming events here that are happening in the next week?
Okay. We have something new here at the Crystal Temple. We now have available massage. So if you are local, I would invite you to come on down and meet our new massage therapist, Emily. She is a wonderful massage therapist, and she's well-studied and does a great job.
I have been fully taking advantage of the fact that we have a new massage therapist here. I'm very happy about that.
She's available on a regular basis, and she combines her energy work with her her massage training in Swedish deep tissue, myofascial release, trigger point, acupressure, sports injury, pregnancy, hydrotherapy, and other massage techniques. So she's got quite a package of things available she can share with you.
I heard that she was also going to be doing henna out of one of the back rooms, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, everybody needs a little henna now and then.
So this weekend, I wanted to, for anybody even remotely in the area, this weekend, this Saturday, is going to be a great time to come down to the temple. We have the Shambhala Tribal Community Festival, and we have opened up our temple doors and opened up the parking lot. We have vendors of all kinds, craftsmen, painters, exhibitors.
Entertainers.
That's right. We'll have a massage out in the parking lot. It's going to be sunny and beautiful, I've asked. And they said, yes, it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny. And we actually have a carnival across the street where they're going to be having rides. And so that starts goes from 10 to 4 on Saturday. And the parade, the St. John's Parade, will pass by the temple doors at noon. So if you're in the area, please do join us for that. Anything else coming up that we would like to say?
Yeah, coming up this Sunday, we have a Stairway to Heaven course. And this is a great introductory course to the Mystery School work. You heard Teresa talk about her training with the Rocky Mountain Mystery School. And this Stairway to Heaven program is a introductory course where you get to try various teachings from the Rocky Mountain Mystery School and participate in some meditation and some ritual that goes back thousands of years that will be handed down to you. And so it's a wonderful time to learn about the different pathways of study available within the Mystery School, such as Kabbalah and the Teacher's Program and also the Ritual Master Program. And if that's of interest to you, that'll be going on this Sunday, May 11th, from 2 to 6 p.m. here at the temple.
And the cost on that?
The cost is only $50.
Great. On top of that, we have our regularly weekly programs. On Wednesdays, we have yoga, qigong, and self-defense. Thursdays is our group spiritual activation. Friday is our spirit dance. This week, Saturday, obviously, our festival out in the parking lot. Sunday, David has Sunday service. We have an open meditation and the Stairway to Heaven program, as well as a free lecture on numerology. Carl Starkweather, one of our teachers working out of the temple here, will be doing a free lecture on numerology. So we would invite any of you to come down or give us a call. Check out our website, www.crystaltemple.org. Our phone number here, 503-249-0303. And our email address is info@crystaltemple.org. So, again, we wanted to thank Teresa for joining us. If you have any questions, and please feel free to call us, too, if you would like to get a hold of her. We can definitely forward your information and have all of her contact information here. So thank you so much for joining us for another week of Crystal Temple Presents. Next week, our guest on air will be John Amateo, who will be here to talk about the powerful and life-changing King Solomon Healing Modality. It's a healing modality done in 10 sessions, 10 weekly sessions, and I'm excited to talk about that with him. He actually lives in Japan and does these sessions and teaches this healing modality in Japan, and he will be in town and live on the radio. So I'm really excited to see him again and be able to ask him all of those burning questions regarding the King Solomon Healing Modality. Do you have anything else for me today, David?
Well, it seems like we have a minute or two left, so how about an affirmation?
Great.
Okay, I've got one here, an affirmation to release laws and judgments. Now, we've all made lots of judgments, so this will be a good one for everybody. And it goes like this. Just repeat after me or think it in your mind. From the divine love that flows through my being, whatever laws I have owned, whatever beliefs I may hold, whatever vows I have made, whatever contracts or agreements I have made, and those I have made them with, through all time and space and beyond, and on all levels of my being, that have created these judgments within my being, that are not bringing me happiness and joy. Now, of my own free will choice, I release. Goodbye and God bless. So be it.
Oh, that was beautiful. And a perfect note to end on. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.